All God's people said. Appreciate that beautiful song, and it's good to have my daughter and her husband and two children with us today, and over from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So anyway, we appreciate them being here. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Romans, please, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're just going to be touching on this passage this morning, and we'll be going through it next week, Lord willing, verse by verse, as we continue on our topic on Christian liberty. On Christian liberty, last week was the first message on this topic, and we'll be spending probably four Sundays. They are also going to be posted online, and also the notes from last week are in the bulletin, so they would help you. Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read today on down through verse 12. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth or dieth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live or whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's where we'll stop. Our Father, we do thank thee for your word. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we enter into this topic again this Sunday, Lord, may our hearts be open, and may we allow you to teach us, Lord, that we might be knowledgeable of your word and knowledgeable of your will, Lord, that we might please you in all things. And Lord, for this we ask that you'll do work this morning. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. We spent time last week on laying the foundation, and we will get to it this morning a little bit on, of course, Christian liberty, and we will define that a little bit more this morning because it is important that we understand. There is a great cry in our culture in Christianity, and we're not talking about in unsaved circles, but in Christian circles, there's a cry concerning Christian liberty. And it is important we understand it and are able to know what the Bible teaches, so we make the right decisions, and so we don't get led astray. As you note, in the body of Christ, there is a tremendous difference. All of us are different, and I know we would say there's no two people exactly alike. That is correct. We are different in our backgrounds. We are different in our upbringings. We are different in our nationalities. We're different also in where we came from as far as where we had lived. We're different also in our experiences. No one has had exactly the same experiences. We've had all different problems and different challenges. We've also have different preferences of things we like and things we dislike. We also have spiritual struggles, different spiritual struggles. We're all at different levels spiritually in Christian maturity. We're different in education, and we're different on our standards that we live by. With that background, that all lays the foundation for a possibility of contention and obviously disunity. We're also different, as you note, in the things that we hold to or what our standards are. And there are operational standards in a ministry that are not necessarily, we would say, thus saith the Lord, but this is what we have as operational standard. In our church, where we had a Christian school in Rochester, there was a lot of different standards that we had for the Christian school, but they weren't necessarily thus saith the Lord, nor were they necessarily the church standards. It was the way we operated the Christian school. And thus, it causes some contention. But we have to understand that all of us have different ideas. One is, some believe in what they can eat or should eat. Some will not eat pork out of conviction. Some do it because of physical problems. That's our family. Some will not eat red meat, and some are vegetarians. There's different ideas concerning dating. Some believe in dating, and some say, well, I believe in courting. Some, I believe, different ideas concerning how big your family should be, a family planning. Some believe they should have as many as possible, and they honestly are convinced about that. Some have belief concerning hair length. A man, how long should it be? Should it touch his ears or not touch his ears? What about a mustache? And what about a beard or a goatee? You know, there's different ideas there. Also, working on Sunday. Should a Christian work on Sunday? What about going to the store on Sunday? We had a deacon in our church many years ago who would not go to the store on Sunday. He just would not even buy milk. He would not. That was his conviction. What about eating at a place that sells liquor? It's hard to find one, sorry to say, in our culture that does not sell some type of liquor. Christian school or homeschooling or charter school, which is big in the news nowadays, or public school. What about a woman working outside the home? Some have convictions along those lines. What a woman should wear. Use of makeup or jewelry. I should say this. My father always said, women, if the barn needs painting, paint it. That was my father, okay? I'm not taking credit for that. My father. And if it takes a couple quotes, please do it. But anyway, that was my father, okay? And jewelry, okay? Pierced ears is another one. And headdresses in church. We had a lady that always wore something on her head. Bodies being buried, whole or cremation? That is another question. Also Bible versions. Some will, of course, have a debate over that. Crosses in church. We had a deacon years ago that absolutely was against any cross in the church or on the church. A flag in church. Obviously, this church does not disagree with that one. Christmas tree in church. Different styles of music. You'll note the Bible is a wonderful, wonderful book that covers all cultures and all time. God gives us in principle what we are to do and what we are not supposed to do, but he does not list everything out. And that is the wonder of the Word of God. But in the areas where God's Word is silent in principle and in command, the Christian is to decide between him and God through the work of the Holy Spirit what God wants him to do. That is Christian liberty. And it's important we understand what Christian liberty is. It is not freedom to do what I want to do or would like to do. It is freedom for me to do what God wants me to do under the work of the Holy Spirit. I can pray, I can study God's Word, and I can listen to the Holy Spirit. And in the areas where God does not explicitly lay out on what I should do or what I shouldn't do, I have the freedom as a Christian to decide what God wants me to do, prayerfully, carefully, through study, and listening to the Holy Spirit. That is Christian liberty. Now, in our day, there is a great cry, which is a false cry. Well, Christian liberty is, I can do whatever I want to do because I am free from the law. That is not biblical. It's really carnal, because we are not free to sin. Romans chapter 6. We are not given liberty to do anything we want. We are to carefully find out what God wants us to do, and we have the freedom to do so. That is because we are priests. Last week, as a priest, I have the wonderful privilege under the priesthood of Jesus Christ to go to the God of the universe with any need I have. I have the privilege to go to Him, and I can find, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the study of God's Word, I can find what God wants me to do. And I can go and get my sins forgiven, and I can do spiritual sacrifice because I am a priest under the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And I will someday stand before Him, and I will give an account for what I did. Romans chapter 14, and also Corinthians. We have the privilege and also the accountability. In Paul's day, there was a tremendous discussion going on about Christians, what they could do or could not do. In this passage of Romans chapter 14, Paul discusses that and spends time on that. You'll find it also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So it was not a light thing. It was a big thing. Christians were coming out of Judaism, all the things that were in the law, and they were having a hard time understanding they were free in Christ. And in Christ, they were not under the law. Christ fulfilled the demands of the law. And they were having a hard time balancing that. And you'll note concerning the Sabbaths and the new moons and concerning the feast days and concerning what they should eat and should not eat, they had a big problem with that. And Romans chapter 14 is written to teach them and to instruct them concerning their liberty. And you'll note in Romans chapter 14, there are, in verse 1, there's two different groups of people mentioned. One is the weak and one is the strong. And the best way to understand the weak were those in the sense of not having or understanding their liberty in Christ. They did not have that knowledge. That's the weak group. These are young Christians. These are people who just had not been taught yet. They did not understand their liberty in Christ. They held to keeping certain aspects of the Old Testament law, and they also had a tendency then to judge and condemn other people who in their mind were violating the Old Testament law, and they were offended by what they did because they did not keep their parts of the law. And then they sometimes stumbled and went back under Judaism. There is the other group, that's the strong ones. That's who are the people who have an understanding that Christ fulfilled the law, and they are not under the Old Testament law, and they understood that they had freedom in Christ. But they had a tendency to flaunt their liberty and to despise those who were holding to portions of the law. And so what they did, some flaunted their liberty and caused the weaker brother to stumble, and that was their problem. So there was a problem with both groups. And Paul is writing to instruct them. Both were Christians. Both had a desire to please God and do what was right, but they lacked understanding concerning the Old Testament law and liberty. Paul is not addressing in this passage who's right and wrong. He pretty much stays away from that in Romans chapter 14. He refers to it, but that is not really his main objective. Paul addresses more how they treat each other. How do you treat each other? And he really hits that very hard and gives them wonderful instruction on differences within the body of Christ and how there is to be acceptance without judging. And you'll note he does not demand uniformity. He demands unity. God does not demand that all of us as Christians be alike. He does not demand that. He demands that we are unified. That's what he demands. Because no two Christians are exactly alike. And so he demands that we still love each other and we don't reject each other and we don't despise each other or condemn each other or criticize each other over these areas that are not explicitly spelled out in Scripture. Those are left between you and God, and we are to accept each other differently where they are and allow God to lead and direct each other. That is Christian liberty. If this is not understood in our churches, it's going to lead to basically two groups. If we do not have a biblical understanding of Christian liberty, you'll note Christians go one way or the other. And I've definitely seen both after being in the ministry that long. Some will err on the side of the licensed crowd, that's what I call it, who will go into sin because they say, well, I am free. And so any standard or any guideline or any principle of Scripture does not really apply because I am free, and they have a tendency to go into sin and become bound thereby. That is the licensed crowd. They participate in activities that border on sinfulness and sometimes are outright sinful. They justify their actions as Christian liberty. They judge and criticize those who question them on why did you go there? Why did you do that? Should you do that as a believer? And they will criticize those who disagree. And by their flaunting of their freedom will cause others to stumble. That is some I know very well. The other side is the legalist crowd. And you've seen the legalist. That's a Pharisaical crowd. They refuse to participate with those who are doing some of these things because they don't have the same standard. And they act offended by those who spend time with them, and they condemn them as carnal or non-spiritual. They equate spirituality as conformity to their standards. That's the legalists. What is spirituality to them? It is agreement with me. That's spirituality. Spirituality is you keep my list. You hold to what I believe God wants me to do, and if you don't, you are carnal or not spiritual. And they often, the legalist, will force his position upon others. He will try to convince you that he is right, why he's right, why his particular view is correct. And then he's usually quite proud. The results are this, because, and it's a very big problem if we do not hold it right, because both groups focus upon people and not the Lord. They focus upon people and not the Lord. We're supposed to focus on God. What do you want me to do? I'm to take every decision I need to make, whatever it might be, whether it is a standard of living or a choice I need to make. And the question is this, is Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what do people want me to do or what others think I should do. No, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it is a focus on people and not the Lord. It also appeals to the flesh. When people go one way or the other, they are appealing to the flesh. The licensed crowd is appealing to his flesh. He's doing what he wants to do. The legalist is appealing to his flesh because he's better than anyone else because he has his particular list. And you must hold to it. They also focus not only upon people, but they also do not focus on the Word of God. Because they're more interested in what people think of them. And more interested in pleasing themselves. And both groups not only do not focus on the Lord, they do not focus on the Word of God and study of the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say in principle and precept? You'll note also they focus on externals and not the heart. And that is very, very easy in Christian circles to see the outside. The outside is deceiving. And praise God, God looks at the heart. And just what you see might not be what is real. But what is real is really the heart. And so we need to focus on the heart, not the externals. Not that the externals aren't important, not that they aren't a picture maybe to the heart, but they're really not the end of the subject. The end of the subject is the heart. And both sides, whether it's the licensed crowd of doing what they want to do or the legalist crowd who says you can't do anything, whatever side you're on, both of them, sorry to say, do not focus on the heart. They also, you'll note, is they produce a counterfeit spirituality. That is the product. Spirituality is not doing what I want to do. Spirituality is not having a list. And I keep my list, and I'm going to die keeping my list, and you must keep my list, or you're not spiritual. That's not spirituality. Spiritually is having a relationship with Christ. Spirituality is walking with Him. Spirituality is pleasing Him and obeying Him and studying His Word and doing what God wants you to do. That's spirituality. It also, one of the problems is, it focuses on comparing themselves with each other and not comparing themselves with God. That's who we're to compare ourselves to. We're to compare ourselves to Him. And we're to have that pliable heart where we allow God. God, show me and change me and mold me into a vessel that's pleasing to You, not to others. And as long as we compare ourselves with each other, Christians will never grow. Because they'll only grow as big as the other person. They won't grow to be what God wants them to be. And it dwarfs spirituality. It dwarfs Christians from growing because they have set their standards by man and not by God. The end result of each of these is spiritual pride. I am better because I know more and I'm doing this and I'm better than you because I'm just more knowledgeable. And I am free in Christ. And so I don't care what you think or what you say. I'm going to live the way I want. Leads spiritual pride. The other side is I'm spiritual because I have my list and I obey it. And see, that's why it is so important we understand what true Christian liberty is. Christian liberty is not doing what I want. And it's not having a list of things I can't do, and I live according to that list. Spirituality and Christian liberty is this. I understand that there are things that God does not spell out in detail, specifically in Scripture. I am a priest before a holy God, and before a holy God that I will give an account someday for. And as a priest, I am free to go to God and His Word and carefully, prayerfully find out, God, what do You want me to do concerning this? The Word isn't clear. It doesn't spell it out in principle or command. But I am free to do what You want me to do. Not what I want to do, but God, what do You want me to do? That is Christian liberty. And it's very, very important we understand in the church, the body of Christ, there are people who are different. They have different backgrounds, different upbringings, they're different levels spiritually, and there are things in their life that aren't in my life, or things in my life that aren't in their life. We're all a work in progress, and we have to love each other and care for each other and help each other do what God wants them to do. My wife and I, when I was a youth pastor, we were extremely careful when we started dating. She was in the youth group. After she graduated from high school, we started dating. We did not do it while she was in high school because of a conflict of interest, okay? We did not want to cause trouble. But when she went off to college, we began dating. I was the youth pastor, and one of the things we were very concerned about was that our young people stay pure. So in order to be a good example to them, we made sure we were very careful in our dating relationship. We were extreme. We, first of all, when we started dating, we did it without, we made sure we went out of town so no one saw us together, okay? That was the first thing we did. Secondly, we did not kiss until the day we got married. We did not. You say, well, I can understand why she wouldn't kiss you. Well, okay. But we had that rule that we did not kiss until the day we got married. Was it necessarily wrong? No. Could we have? I believe so. The Bible doesn't say. But we did that because we believed it best. We did not want to in any way cause others to stumble because of us. And see, that lays the foundation for a guideline. The overruling guideline of our Christian liberty is this: it's always love for Christ and love for others. Because of a love for Christ and a love for others, that is the governor. Like on a lawnmower has a governor. And that's what controls its speed. And you'll note that is what is to govern us as Christians. Our Christian liberty, even though we might be free to do it, for the cause of Christ, we give up that freedom for the sake of the lost. And that is the governor of our Christian liberty. So we're going to get to that, Lord willing, next week and the next week on guiding our Christian liberty. I am free to eat. I am free to go places. I am free to do all kinds of things. But I have to watch it so I don't cause others to stumble. So I hope that helps you. Christian liberty, tremendous topic, a tremendous truth, but yet it is abused in our culture. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. We're going to spend time, Lord willing, next week. This is a wonderful topic and a wonderful blessing that we are free from the Old Testament law because of the work of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege. But we're not free to sin. We're not free to cause others to stumble. We're not free to live any way we want to. We're free to live the way Jesus Christ wants us to. And that's why we need to look at every area of our life and ask some questions that we'll get to in 2 weeks. Now, I want to ask you this question. The people around you who know you're a Christian, what do they see? Do they see someone who represents Christ, who exalts Christ, who enhances his cause? Or do they see someone who's just like the world? There's to be a difference. We're not to use our freedom as a cloak of sinfulness, or to use our freedom to serve Jesus Christ. Our Father, I do thank you so much for your love. Lord, we thank this much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, we know the topic at hand is a difficult one to articulate, and it's a difficult one for many to understand. But Lord, help us to have such a love for you that we will willingly, as believers, seek your word and seek your will. And Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit and allow you to guide us so we make the decisions that you want us to make, so we live the way you want us to live, so we're a testimony of your grace to others and not a stumbling block. And Lord, we ask you to bless and use us this day. May we grow in grace. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.